So today we are talking about motherhood and relationships. After coaching thousands of women over the years, I can tell you, you sit down and start talking about motherhood and within moments, the relationship will come up. I often say in my big group coaching programs that, you know, we'll get to the relationship later, but first I want you to focus on you. It's about you first, your experience, your identity change. We're going to look at you. And it's this constant pulling them back. Yes, yes, we'll get there, but let's just come back to you, come back to you. Because one of the things that, as you said, Charlie, is that we don't acknowledge is how much our relationships change through motherhood. And again, it's a part of the internal struggle that we judge ourselves on. We aren't prepared for how this is going to feel. We aren't prepared for the conversations that we should be having about how we're feeling and how things are changing. And it's a huge source of pain and sadness and grief for so many of us. And yet we don't talk about it. So today I want to just bring to light some of the things that has really helped and transformed a lot of the women that I've worked with around this. But I first want to start by saying, who went into being a mother, who went into parenthood with the expectation that it would be an equal partnership in the way that you would raise your children? Who thought that going in this day and age that we were a lot more in a better place in terms of clearing those gendered roles of who does what? Because most of us go into this thinking that we're going to be equal partners. And yet, even in 2022, that is not very common. Partly because the mum is the physical provider of so much at the start. But beyond that, it continues. There is this cultural story around who does what, that even the most profoundly conscious relationships struggle with when kids come along. Trust me, I've interviewed them. Even those profoundly conscious men and partners struggle with where they fit when parenthood comes along. There was this phenomenal research out of university, I believe it was Harvard University, a few years ago, where they interviewed new couples before they were pregnant about their expectations of who would do what, even down to things like who would take time off work if the baby was sick. Who would do the things around the house? How will they manage this long term? And all of the couples at the start had the greatest intentions for it to be balanced and equal. Greatest intentions that they would equally take time off work when the kid is sick or cover school holidays or anything like that. And then they checked in with these couples, you know, 2 years and then 5 years later. And every single one of them had somehow slipped back into a 1950s version in some degree of how things are divided up at home. They had the best intentions, but it's just, we don't know how to do it any other way. We don't see any examples, and the structure around us doesn't support it. You know, it's not as acceptable for a man to call into work and say, my kid's sick, I can't come in today. It should be. And just because it's not as common doesn't mean that he shouldn't be doing it. He can be the first. But it is so much of our culture assumes that she will be at home. She will be the one that we call, and she will be the one who will pick all of the things up. Some of you may have heard about the third shift or the mother load, this idea that even when you divide up the tasks around parenthood in terms of the physical tasks, you know, taking in turns to pick up and drop off, those types of things, there is a lot of this unspoken, almost silent load of motherhood, of parenthood, that falls on the mum. Things like thinking about RSVPing to that birthday party, getting, you know, the presents ready for the birthday party, getting book week costumes ready, filling out the forms, answering the newsletter questions, all of those little things that, again, research consistently shows us will fall on the mother. And, you know, it's been explained to me a number of times that that's just because that's how women think. No, we don't accept that. If men can run multi-million dollar companies and get us to the moon, they can figure out how to get on top of the schedule for the kids' birthday parties. But the fact is that we don't know how to communicate this, and we don't know how to do it any differently because of that good mother myth that I mentioned earlier. Because there is an unspoken internal story that we still carry that it is our job. It is our job to do this. Many of us still carry those things. And if we don't do it, then somehow we're not as good a mum. Even though we want more help, we find it often very difficult to let that help in. And so that's why this is such a huge topic, because I often like to believe everyone really is doing the best they can. But the problem is the system we have at the moment isn't working for anybody. It's not working for the mums, and it's not working for the partners either. You know, the employment system doesn't work for the dads or the partners to be able to be there for their kids as much either. But for us to be able to let go of some of those attachments to who we should be, and instead soften into this role, the thing that really transformed this so much is when I began to understand the difference between the masculine energy and the feminine energy. Now, when I say masculine and feminine, I mean like a yin and a yang energy, not necessarily a man energy and a woman energy. This is a more polarity practice of the two different energies. And we live in a world, as you would all be completely familiar with, we live in a world that celebrates the masculine energy and rejects the feminine energy. And the masculine energy is about productivity and busyness and achievement. It's about setting a goal and getting it done. And we, because we have been brought up in such strong masculine energy, even as women, we often tend to approach motherhood and our relationships with a masculine energy, meaning it's something we need to do, not something we need to be. We do mothering. We look at it as a set of tasks, because it often is. You know, we show up, we get done what needs to be done. As one of you said, you know, before you even start work, you've already done a full day's work. It's filled with this endless, endless, endless doing productive energy. But actually, the gift of motherhood is, if we can allow it, a slowing down, a being very, very, very present. It's about exploring who you are now, letting go of expectations, letting go of productivity in a way, being okay with the now, and even not knowing what's next. That's a very divine feminine energy, but it is so deeply uncomfortable for most of us because we have been taught to always be thinking about where are you going and what are you achieving. Tell them what they need to do because we are so deeply in our masculine energy. We are so deeply in that productivity because here's what we need to do. We need to meet this with kindness. We're tired. We have so much on our plate. Most of it we can't get done. The only way we can survive is to be in that masculine productive energy. That masculine energy has saved us our whole life. It's what got us here. It's what got us through uni or through that job or through that hard time, possibly got you through the first 6 months of a screaming baby. This energy of just keep going, get it done. So it's a wonderful energy to have. We need that. A lot of mothering needs that energy. But here's what happens in a relationship if you are living only in your masculine energy. As Marianne Williamson said in a program I did with her many years ago, when a woman lives in her masculine energy, and then you get to the end of the day and you go to bed with your partner who's predominantly masculine energy, you have two masculine energies lying next to each other and nothing's going to happen. What we do a lot in the Mama Rising training and what I teach others to do a lot with their mamas when they are a Mama Rising facilitator is to really begin to explore this feminine energy and our judgment of it. Because as you said, Bree, slowing down is scary and people don't understand it. What do you mean you're going to take 3 months to fill your cup? The feminine energy is about receiving, opening up. It's about letting go of the tasks and just being present. It's about seeing the gifts in the tiny moments and not letting that brain kick in about what needs to be done or how this might turn into something. When you think about the men and when you think about men and women, the masculine energy is outward, the feminine energy is inward. Let me just pause there for a moment so you can feel that. So if we're living in an energy, which we usually are, which is always outward projected, it's outward focused. But what we can do to really look at how things can be more balanced in our relationship and in our life is to begin to focus on the inward energy. And this is what I think, well, I know has changed so many of the understandings of relationships in the programs over the years that I've taught is this masculine and feminine understanding, because the feminine receives. So instead of thinking about your relationship as something else you need to do, because I remember one mama told me many years ago when she was talking, crying to me about her relationship, she said, at the end of the day, I am just touched out. I have had a baby on my boob all day. I've had a toddler trying to get my attention, hands all over me. They've been lifting, I've like physically been touched all day. And then we get to the end of the night and he wants to touch me and no one else can touch me. But when we started to talk about that, can you receive the touch? This isn't something you need to do. This is something that you can receive. This is a tank filling thing. It starts to switch the way we see the interactions in our relationship. Whether you're in a same-sex relationship, it doesn't matter. There is a masculine and a feminine polarity here. And so what I love about, as I've said to you a number of times, what I love about matrescence and the way that we talk about it in Mama Rising is this isn't just about being a mum and how you feel about the role of mother. It's about the whole person and how this change in her has affected the way she feels in a relationship, in her career, in herself. And by bringing in these other ideas like masculine and feminine energy, we begin to transform the whole person. You know, she doesn't just become a more calm, conscious mum. She doesn't suddenly stop beating herself up about motherhood only. She begins to open up to all these other things, like a different connection in her relationship. She finds a way to speak to her partner about the imbalance at home that doesn't come from this angry, masculine, you know, attacking energy. She focuses on herself and she sees where that imbalance is, and then she can clearly say, this isn't working for me. This is what I need from you. the two things I would love for us to remember out of this is that we carry these stories about who we should be as a mum that are imbalanced at times. And yet it's very hard for us to break up with that. And secondly, when we live so much in that doing energy, it really does create this tension in our relationship. Whereas if we can soften and open up and see more that there is a balance here, it can really begin to change that relationship. Because when we get more comfortable with that slowing down, when we get more comfortable with that end of the day, the kids are asleep, what do I need now? Not what the kitchen is telling me to do and how many loads of washing I need to do, but what would fill me up? You know, just going into the bathroom and washing your makeup off and putting some oils on or something. This is the beginning of you stepping out of that doing, 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 doing energy. Yeah. Because we do not value these more feminine qualities because it's just not seen and valued. It's not productive. You don't make money from it. You can't tick it off a list. But in my opinion, this experience of matrescence is the greatest opportunity for us to redefine that relationship with our energy, redefine that energy of the masculine and redefine the energy of the feminine within. From what I have seen over so many years, so many partners have such great intentions to be equal, have such great intentions to support each other through this. And yet we somehow slip back into these traditional roles. The mum gets stuck in this, it has to be me thinking because that's what she believes is the most important thing for her to be doing, and yet holds resentment around it. The other partner doesn't know how to help, and so the space gets bigger and bigger. But if we can drop into and practice beginning to connect with that more soft, receiving energy and let go and let them support us, something really profound shifts. I don't know about you, but I remember when my husband would come home and he'd say, "What did you do today? What did you do all day today?" I'd want to throw something at him because I'd be like, "Do you want to know what I did today?" Because it seems, well, it's invisible, isn't it? Once again, it's no one's fault here. It's an invisible role. Even our partners don't get it. I think COVID's shown them a little bit more of what it's like to be home with children day in, day out, but even our partners don't get it. So instead of being angry and in that space of resentment and retreat and distance, we soften and we begin to explore this difference in us first so we can then talk to them about how we've changed. This is, as I said, this is a huge topic. This is, let alone physical connection, emotional support, all of it. When I was thinking about what to share with you around this particular part of matrescence and how the relationship has changed, I really wanted to bring that lens of, just as she will never go back to who she was, and just like a teenager will never go back to a child, your relationship will never go back to what it used to be. But that's okay. There's an opportunity here to deepen it. There's an opportunity here to have conversations around how you feel and the way. And the other part of all of this is to begin to explore how we can switch off that endless doing energy, that productive, task-focused energy, just in one part of your life, and soften. Start doing something for the pure joy of it, the pleasure of it. Not because it needs to be done and not because it makes you healthy or anything like that. Do some things that start to explore how can you feel better. And these types of things then begin to seep into the relationships and into how you feel about being a mum and how you feel about everything. Because you don't just feel like a taskmaster anymore. You're beginning to explore yourself in this again.